I exhorted the parents the other night to watch your little folks because they'll die so quick. Brother Grady, when we was in the tent meeting down in Alabama years ago, had a precious little child, and before he knew what was happening, it was dead. Just like that, it's gone. They're little and they can't tell you. See, you hear them coughing and go on. Now, when you get a cold, you know how miserable and wretched you feel, especially when it starts cutting your breath off. And you just, it's terrible. And yet those little fellas are, they're like that in there, and they can't tell you and they can't make you understand. So be a real mother and a real dad and do something for them here. As the old saying goes, a stitch in time saves nine. So let's do something about it. Let's watch them. Let's love them. And let's not be like the careless church of today that doesn't care about the children and just let them go anywhere. That's what a mother is a symbol of, you know, when she don't want your children. And when a dad is just always pitching a temper fit and knocking mama around and slapping the children around, he's a symbol of the devil. How many of you know that? Did you know that? So don't do that. Don't do that. Be a real lady mother and love your children and provide for them. And don't just give them a cookie and let them go from breakfast to supper and give them another cookie and those kind of things. Don't do that now. Here. All right. Now, and I wanted to ask the young folks tonight, young ladies and young men, do not go out into the cars and love on each other. Don't do it. Now, I said something about this the other night. We cannot have that. Some of them has been caught doing this outside, and we cannot have it. So whatever you do, don't do it. Because, Brother Pike, I love you, and I don't want to hurt your feelings. But, see, here's the thing. You got to hurt people's feelings. That's just going to invite the devil around. So I'll have to do it. So don't do that. And don't reproach us. Yeah, be a real lady and a gentleman. If you want to love, well, you go somewhere else to love. And I don't believe boys and girls ought to love on each other anyway. But if you got to do it, well, you go somewhere else here because this ain't no place to do it. And out here, we're going to put up more lights on the outside to make sure that you can't do this out there. And not too long ago, I was up in, well, it's been a good while now, but I was up in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and was having a meeting there, and I stepped outside, went around the building, and here in the dark, a boy had a girl pressed up against the building there at night loving on her. And I walked by and saw it, and I tell you what, I told him just exactly how I felt. He didn't like it, and she didn't like it either, but I told him anyway, just exactly how I felt. So if I run across you, I'm liable for a think. I'm liable to tell you how I feel about it, so don't do that here. All right, now we appreciate you. We appreciate all of our children and our teenagers. We appreciate their interest. We appreciate our young folks here that's trying to get interested in something for God and get a vision for God that God can bless them through their lifetime. And some of them are learning on their instruments here, and they're doing real good to start off here and learn. And I hope that more of them will take an interest that we might be able to do something for the Lord Jesus. Now then, if I can get somebody to get me just a little swallow of water here. When we get around these shavings down here, it gets dusty, and today we've been trying to help out a little bit. I love to help with things. The Bible speaks of the ministry. In one place, Jesus speaks of it where they create burdens that's grievous to be borne, and then they place them upon the people, and they won't touch one of them with their little finger. And I love to get out and try to help that won't be charged against me in the day of judgment. I don't want to be a minister that will see others labor and not touch it with my little finger. And I hope we don't have any other minister like that, but I hope we got those that will grit their teeth and get out and help too, because this is the way it's supposed to be. Now, a minister can't share with you in all of your labor, and he can't go every time you get a job or you want to do something, but he can share in some to let you know that he's willing. And I'm trying to do what I can, and I assure you that you're trying to do the same thing. So let's work together as a compact unit for God and try to get the job done. How many of you tonight would say that getting the church built, let's say it like this. How many of you believe that getting the house of God built is more important than anything that you know of? Is that right? Outside of winning souls. How Solomon built the house of God first. And did you know that after that he built the house of God, God smiled on him so that he made him ruler of the whole world. Did you know that? He was in control of the whole thing and had a house much, much, much bigger than the house of God that God gave him. because he built the house of God first. Now then, we praise the Lord for his blessings tonight, and I want to try to bring out as much of this as I can tonight. Now, I don't know how that we'll get along here, because like I said, we're just a little bit tired, but we try to cover some of this and get into the mind of the Lord Jesus. And I want to say again now, continue to labor with me and to help me. And I'm going to say this. We usually let Brother John take the offering, and tonight we're, I really forgot it. I was intending to let him take it since it was the weekend. But if you've got an offering tonight, I'll tell you what you do. While we're talking, Brother John, if he will, can just get the basket and come back there and walk around. And I'll just go right on with the teaching since I've overlooked it anyway. And if you want to give, well, you're certainly welcome to give. And those that are going to give, they're going to give anyway, regardless. And so you give or do whatever you want to for the Lord Jesus tonight. All right, now then, while Brother John's doing that, and he'll let us know what it is when he takes the offering, I want you to look at the board now, and when I'm talking to you, keep your eyes and mind on the board, studying the board, or on me here, as I try to tell you, because that's the only way that I can teach you. The Bible said to be easy to teach, and the only way I can teach you is for you to observe the things that I'm saying to you. Now, people are becoming stirred about the ministry and about the teachings, and they are at last realizing that things are taking place. I believe they say about 17,000 people or maybe more has given up homes and different things in this country to go to Palestine, and giving up real fineries here to go to Palestine because things are taking place. And the Bible said in the last days they'd see that the Jews was very prosperous, and they would say, let me go with you because you are a Jew. So then, they're beginning to do that now. They're beginning to see the prosperity of the Jew, and they're wanting to get close to the Jew because they know that God is with them and God's going to bless them. And they're beginning to realize that the wrath of God is poured out upon the Gentile people. Now, this is a terrible, terrible thing. You know how they mocked the man when he came to Atlantis? They published mocking pieces about him in the paper when he predicted the fall of California. Brother Abernathy. But after the fall of California set in, they had him on television asking him questions, and they wrote pieces in the newspaper about him, and they wasn't mocking him anymore. And he told them that he had predicted it, that that was right, that he had predicted it, but that a man by the name of William Branham predicted it before he did, and that he himself had been visited by God in a vision and shown the same thing afterwards, and that's why he fled from California. That God came to him and showed him a vision, which was a confirmation of it. And he said the same thing that I said to my wife here a few days ago, and the brethren in the past when we spoke of the things of California and how it would fall, that this is a very light thing to what we understand by revelations coming. Now, Brother Branham predicted it by vision, I understand, and I don't know nothing about vision of California falling. I haven't seen a vision of falling, but by revelation, I saw it in revelation just like I saw the death of Brother Taylor's mother and all these other things that we brought out. I saw it. And what I saw, this is a very light thing, as Brother Abernathy said, that that's going to happen to California. So, you can see that things are taking place and taking place fast. Now, did they ever go get any water? I can't tell why my wife is shaking her head or bouncing the baby. But anyway, all right, now then, you notice we use this tree right here. We'll try to take our time tonight and explain it. We use this tree as a family tree, a God family tree, here that we have drawn on the board. And we brought out how that God in this time had come back to his people, and how that the pillar of fire had returned, which was the angel of God that had led the children in the wilderness, and how that God always sends an angel and begins to show us things. And here we took this and we traveled a long ways in the family tree here and showing you some things, but we never finished it. And even though I probably won't get back into it tonight, yet when the anointing is just right for this particular stream, I want to get back in it and try to finish this out and show you what we understand. And then we got into another stream that was prior to the family tree springing up in this age, which was the cross. And we brought out quite a few things concerning the cross and concerning the triune move of the of godliness and the triune condition of the Godhead, to try to explain to you how that God is three in one, and how that the Bible speaks of three, and not changing the scriptures, not altering the scriptures because we think of something or somebody said something. But when the Bible said there is three, we just say what it says. There is three. Now others say, well, it's not this and it's not that, and it's two and it's one. And that's good. If that's what they see, that's what they understand, if that's what God's made known to them, well, that's all they know to say. The only thing that I know is to say what the Bible said. The Bible teaches to preach the word, and all I know, the Bible said there is three, so I say there is three. And then the Bible said these three are one, so I say these three are one. All right, that's the way the Bible teaches it. Now then, we also drawed out a little chart over here and tried to highlight a few things to get a confusing element out of your mind concerning the one, two, three, when we speak of the natural, the physical, and the spiritual, or when we term it as religion, we say Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. And then when we term it as just nations, we say Palestine and Rome and America, and Italy and America. And then cities, we say Jerusalem and Rome and New York. We usually bring it down to New York because that's where everything keys up there. So we try to bring everything out in a three and one as best we can. And then we take the middle rim here. Now when we say, first of all, when we say Jew, then we say Catholic, and then we say Protestant. And we make three ages out of it when it's only two ages, because God took the last age and he broke it into, made a twain out of it here, that he might give us a symbol in one part of it of the third age, which is a millennium. Now, I might not be right about this, and you don't have to quote me on it, but this is what I understand. This is what God made me to know. Now, most people teach this, the past age of the Jewish age, which is the church in the wilderness, and then they teach this age, and then they say that's it. But I don't believe that because I don't understand it like that. I believe that there's three great moves of God on this present earth right here. And I do not believe at the end of this age that we are going to be finished with this world. I don't believe that. Now, I don't believe at the end of this age that that's going to be all of it. The church is going to be raptured away and it's going to be all of it. I don't believe that because to me that's not Bible. Now, it might be to you, and if you see it that way, well, that's all right. You understand it? I got nothing to say about it, but this is the way I understand it. This is the way God speaks to me. And whether right or wrong, it's still the way I understand it. Now, I do not believe that God is going to work in those two ages, and that's going to be all of it. But according to what I understand, there's one more age of this world, and whereas one age was a 4,000-year age, and the other age a 2,000-year age, the next age will be a 1,000-year age, which is what we call the millennium, or the 1,000 years, millennium reign. And this 1,000 years millennium reign is not, as some people suppose, on a new earth. It is not on a new earth. Now, maybe you've always heard it taught the new earth, and I always heard it taught the new earth too, but it is not on the new earth. That's not Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that the 1,000 years millennium reign will be on the new earth. It's not Bible. Now, if you've got some Bible for it, well, I'd appreciate if you come and show it to me, because I've never found any Bible for the millennium being the new earth. It is definitely not the new earth. The millennium is the same earth that we're living on right now, and it is the restored earth and not the new earth. It is where the Bible speaks of the restoration of all things, therefore being hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution or the restoring of all things, which we believe to be the millennium reign. So then the thousand years millennium, according to what I understand, is the time that God will deal with the Jew, and in that time he will be the head of the nation, and it will be the great hour of restoration where everything that was in the garden or in the garden age will be restored, and it will be like a beautiful garden, and the world will go back to its original personalities. All right, now, we say personalities, actually, the way that God had it in the beginning, and men with their personalities. All right, now then, here's what we actually believe. The thousand years millennium reign right here. Now, if you can observe what we're saying, we believe that in this period right here, and I asked Brother Taylor to leave these on the board so I can point them out. We believe that in this period right here, which was the Jew age, which was the 2,000 years from Adam until Noah, and really it's not 2,000 years, but we call it 2,000 years from Adam to Noah to give kind of a positive break in it, you know, because of the flood, and then 2,000 years from the flood over to Jesus, and 2,000 years from Jesus over to the coming of the Messiah. This is the way we try to break it down. But anyway, here in the Jewish age, the great water age, as we would call it, or the great age where the water covered the earth, this age, I believe, and I'm just telling you what I believe and what I understand. You don't have to believe if you don't want to. But I believe that when the water, the great flood, when it came upon the earth in Noah's day, that is what tilted the world on its axis. Now, that's what we was talking about the other night. And it might not be right. I could be 100,000 miles wrong on it. But this is what I believe. I believe that it tilted the world on its axis when the water was on the earth over in Noah's time. Now, I know the Bible said that the water covered all of the earth, and that every high hill under heaven was covered, according to the Bible. But I still believe that the water, the great deluge, is what caused the world to be tilted. Now, I believe this. And I also believe that God letting this happen in the eastern part of the world will someday let over here in the western part of the world a great outpouring of fire through the atomic powers that will shake the Western world and will cause the world to spring back up into its original position. Now, like I said, I might be wrong. I don't know. But now here's what I believe about it, according to what I understand. When God made Adam in the garden, he made him upright. We brought this out the other night, but we brought it out so hurriedly that we didn't have time to elaborate on it. But when he made Noah in the garden, he made him upright here in the water age. This was just prior to the water age. And when he made him upright. A man that was upright in his characteristics. He was upright. But when sin came in, man got tilted on his axis. He got tilted on his axis and he was no longer upright. And when this happened, because God is a three in one and because God creates by three in one, and because everything that God does has to go in a spiritual parallel, when man got tilted on his axis, when he was tilted on his axis, then for this thing to stay in a continuity, then heaven had to be tilted on its axis. And the earth had to be tilted on its axis. But whatever happens to humanity, it has to happen to heaven, it has to happen to the earth. And so then when Adam was tilted on his axis in the garden, then immediately a third part of the heavens was tilted on its axis because a third part of the angels was cast out of heaven and it took a spiritual tilt. And then the earth, the great deluge hit it, and whether it's responsible for it or not, God only knows. But whether it was or not, yet anyway, it's tilted on its axis. And so then the great three-in-one is tilted on its axis, and everything has to go along in a continuity. Now then, I believe that if man, being tilted on his axis, caused all of this to take place, then when man is straightened up on his axis, spiritually speaking, then everything will straighten up. Now, if this be true, then when man straightens up, that is just a part of man. Now, it wasn't but one man that got tilted on his axis. And that wasn't but, doesn't take but one man, Paul said, to restore everything. That's the man Christ Jesus, whose body you are, and members in particular. All right, so then if this be true, when you are straightened up, that is the church, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, then there will be a perfect man, there must be a perfect world or a garden for him to dwell in. All right, now then, John in the book of Revelation, and I hope one day that we'll really get into the book of Revelation and start unfolding what we understand about it. But John in the book of Revelation, he said, I saw the islands moved out of their places. I saw the mountains moved out of their places. Now, I believe this, that when the world was tilted on its axis, that the mountains that was upright went into the water, and the islands that was setting up went into the water. Now, there must be something to this, because Betty and I, being out in California a number of years ago, I noticed that right after we crossed the Arizona line, that all the way back to the Arizona line almost, there was seashells and sand all out there, like at one time it had been under the water. All right, now, when the world... When the world was tilted on its axis like this, then according to what I understand, all these things went under the water. Now, John said, I saw the islands moved out of their places. I saw the mountains moved out of their places. Now, I believe that what he meant was, in the time of the Antichrist, about 3 years' reign of the Antichrist, and then after the 3 years' reign, 6 months of the wrath of God. Now I want you to understand this. A lot of people don't understand it, and for a number of years I didn't understand it. So one day I really got in there and God showed me what it was. But 3 years of the tribulation is the regime of Antichrist. That is, he'll rule and reign, he'll usurp his authority, and he'll have control and dominion over all the world. 3 years of it. Now we refer to it as 3 years and a half. Well, the 3 years and a half means 6 months added to the 3 years regime of Antichrist will be the wrath of God. Now remember, when the mountains go to move out of their place, when the hailstones come down from heaven, when fine all of this other stuff the Bible speaks of in Revelation starts to happening, the earthquakes, this is not the power of Antichrist. It is not the power of Satan doing it. It is not. When all these things begin to happen, that is not. The regime of Antichrist, the Bible said he'll make craft to prosper. Now this is what throws people off. All across the Carolinas, and I don't mean this as a rebuke to my brethren there, it's just the way I understand it, and that's the way they understand it. But all across the Carolinas and all across the nation now, they're beginning to preach, get ready for famine. Get ready for famine. But this is not so. There's no need to get ready for a famine because that's not going to be. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe a famine's coming? Sure there'll be a famine. There'll be famines. The Bible said be famines, be pestilence, be earthquakes. There's famines in the land right now. There's earthquakes in the land right now. But I'm speaking of the kind of famine that they're speaking of, and to show you that it's not right, first of all, they say store up for the famine, like Joseph did. Now, they're seeing something, but they're looking in the natural when God is doing something in the spiritual. Now, I believe we ought to store up for the famine, but I believe we ought to store up spiritually, not naturally. Now, you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe we ought to store up naturally? No, I don't, because I believe that any true Christian that had a storehouse full... A storehouse full, that if there was a famine, and if there was hungry people, that he'd give until he didn't have a storehouse. Well, that'd take him just one day, and his storehouse would be empty. So what good would it be to store up if you're going to give it all away in one day? See, it don't make sense. Now, a Christian couldn't sit and eat and other folks starving to death. That'd be pretty good proof he wasn't a Christian. So you see, all of that's vain. Now, one time we went up into North Carolina, and here Brother David Allen, a wonderful man of God, had stored up a tremendous stuff, amount of stuff, had it up in the loft up here, and had big new garbage cans, just piled full of food, little cans, you know, of food, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of it, and all piled up. And when we got up there and saw it, he told me what he was doing, and I said, Brother David, I said, for God's sake, get all of that stuff out of here, load it in a car, and send it to Mexico to those starving people. And that's what he did. So now then, you see how Satan can mislead a person. He was honest enough that when he heard the truth, that's what he did. Now, I'm not trying to rebuke those brethren. I'm just telling you what I understand about it. All right, now, I believe that there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. I believe that, and I believe there's already famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in this age. But I also believe with all my heart, this is my sincere conviction, that we are not to store up anything but spiritual food. Because the regime of Antichrist will make craft to prosper. It will not bring a famine. Antichrist coming in, he is not coming in to create a famine. It's not what he's going to do. He's going to come in to have a frolic, to live it up, and have a good time. People don't turn to paganism in the time of famine. They turn to paganistic practices in the time of plenty. Not famine. When you have famine, it brings a great revival in the world. When Israel got away from the garlic and onions and got out into the wilderness, they served God. When they started the Canaan land to have the land of milk and honey, Moses and Joshua warned them, said, beware lest ye forget God. And when you're full, you'll say, then who is this God that I should serve him? And so it is today, see, having plenty. Beware lest that day come upon you unaware, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. And the Bible said they shall be eating and they shall be drinking. They shall be marrying and given in marriage. Now then, when we say eating and drinking, well, people is always eat and drink. So that he wasn't just speaking of people eating and drinking, but he was speaking of excess in eating and drinking. Now, he was running to rioting and having parties and picnics and going out to dinners and suppers and things, and sometimes we do that too. But anyway, this is what he was speaking of. There'd be a time of plenty. All right, now then, Antichrist will make craft to prosper. Now you say, how will he do it? Well, the Bible said he'll change the times and the seasons. He'll change the calendar. That's one thing. In the days of Caesar, he changed the calendar from what it was. It's not the original Jew calendar now. And I noticed that George Washington's birthday, I always thought it come on the 22nd. I might be wrong about it. Might have looked at the calendar wrong. But they had us celebrating it on the 15th. So I perceive that what he's doing, that already he's moving in and he's taking these holidays that would come one right close to another, and he's spacing them out according to his way to keep people on the job at a certain time and off of the job to make craft prosper. I believe this is one of the things he's doing, Brother John, to make craft prosper. All right, now then, they're working this thing out to his own advantage, and he will make craft to prosper, so 3 years of that will be a great hour of prosperity, a great time of prosperity, but the last 6 months will be God pouring out his wrath upon Antichrist when the hailstones will rain down from heaven. And remember, God doesn't pour out his wrath upon his own people, is that right? He is not going to pour it out upon the Jew nor upon the Christian. He's not going to do that. So then the church will already have been raptured during that time. I know some of the brethren are preaching that the church is going through the tribulation, but that's not right. According to what I understand, that's absolutely wrong. The church will not go through the tribulation. It won't do it. Now then, the church in the wilderness will go through the tribulation, which is the Jew, but not the church which is the bride or the Gentile. It will not go through the tribulation. Now, the wrath of God will be poured out in the 6 months, which is after the 3 years regime of Antichrist. And that's when the earthquakes happen. That's when you think about all these locusts and all these things covering the earth, all these things coming. And at this time, John said the islands were moved out of their places. Now, I believe right after that 3 years of Antichrist, then they'll begin to sling atom bombs all around. I believe it's going to be a terrible, when the rulers, which is the communistic powers, when they begin to realize that Rome is trying to be a government and take over the world, and when Rome begins to realize that communism is trying to take their throne that they're set to receive, then I believe that there'll be war between them, and that there will be a great bombing, a great catastrophe, great things will begin to take place, and I believe that the Jewish power will rise up and destroy Rome. I believe they'll do it. With the atom bombs and the powers, I believe that the Jews will rise up. And one reason I believe that is because the Bible said in the days of Elijah, when Elijah was caught away, which there was just a little bit of revelation, in the days when Elijah was caught away, in the fiery chariot, which was a symbol of the Gentile bride being caught away, that at that time he had went over to the place where Moses had been in the mount of God, where God had spoke to him. He had went back there in the wilderness to this same mountain, and when God spoke to him, God said, go back and anoint Elisha prophet in thy stead. And he went back, he anointed Elisha prophet, and he said, anoint Jehu king. And the Bible said he anointed Jehu king, and when he went back and anointed Jehu king, that Jehu went by and picked up one of his friends, rode into the city, and told him to come and see his zeal for God. And when he rode into the city, the Bible said that Jezebel came out on a veranda. She came out on a little balcony like, and she was all painted up. And the Bible said that when she came out, she tried to deceive the heart of Jehu. That's what it appeared. And so then Jehu, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. And Jehu pointed to water and told her to the ones that were for God to cast her down. And there was eunuchs that had been made sterile that stood up there that escorted the queen and so forth, and they had no feeling toward women, and they came out and took this woman and threw her over the baluster. And when they threw her over the baluster, the Bible said that her brains and all of her guts bashed out on the pavement down here, and the dogs eat her, and she became dung upon the face of the earth. The Bible, Elijah prophesied that Jezebel would become dung upon the face of the earth, and we made the statement that dung is knowledge, and that the dogs is the Gentile, and someday the communistic powers, the Jewish powers, will consume the Catholic Church, the great whore, and she'll become nothing but a byword and a proverb among the people, which is dung upon the face of the earth, according to the prophecies of the prophet Elijah. Now then, after this, Jehu threw Jezebel down. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Now then, I believe that Jehu was God's anointed in that hour, which symbolized the Jews, and because he was a king over the Jews. And so then, if he was a king, then that means the Jews is the ones that's going to destroy Jezebel. Is that right? The prophetess or the harlot. So this is what I believe. I might be wrong about it, but this is what I understand. Now then, John said that at this time, remember, Elijah was called out, the mantle went right back to Elisha, and Elisha got a double portion. Now, I believe Elijah going out was the one portion of the Gentile church, which was raptured. But the Bible said Elisha took sick and died, and I believe that Elisha was the Jewish church, for they found him plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, which brings that number 12, just a little key there for you to catch the revelation. And he had the double portion, and according to what I understand, the Jew gets the double portion. Now, when you say one portion, according to what I understand, it means that you are translated into the kingdom of God in your spirit. That's one portion. You are spiritually right with God. But the Jews have always noted to be right with God in their body through the keeping of ordinances and the commandments, keeping their body strict with God. Now then, but they've never had the spiritual portion, because they are the body and we are the spirit. And at Calvary, the body was rent in twain, which separated the body from the spirit, and the spirit went one way and the body went another way. And so then, we being the spirit, we went into a paradise, as we brought it out here one night, of the church, the land of America, which is milk and honey, and they went out of the presence of God into a torturous place of the grave, which was into darkness, out of the mind of God. That is, he just took them out of his mind and blessing for a while. The Bible said that they are enemies to God for the Gentiles' sake, but concerning beloved, they are beloved for the Father's sake. All right, so then, we see the body, and we see the spirit. Now, I believe that the prophet Elisha was the Jew. And so then here we see a portion in the Gentile of the bride, which was a rapture in the fiery chariot. Now, they had one portion and that caught them away. When they got their double portion, it changed their body and they went away. Now, I believe that Elijah had a double portion. And I believe that's why he said, Elisha, if you see me at my going, you can have a double portion. Because I believe he just had one portion when Elijah asked for the double portion. And so then when Elijah got his double potion, it took him out of the world. When we get our other potion, which is the change of our body, it'll take us out of the world. But the Jew will not be taken out of the world. They'll get their double potion. When they got their body potion, and when they get their spiritual potion, then they'll have a double potion when they learn our spiritual secret of the Holy Ghost. And they receive the baptism of the Spirit, then they'll have their double potion, and they'll stay here to war against Antichrist. And he said, Brother Pike, what makes you think they're going to get the baptism of the Spirit? Because the Bible said that he'll seal them in their forehead, and it said that the four angels moved around the earth, and one stood on this corner, this corner, this corner, this corner, holding the four winds of the earth, and we brought them out one night about the vision of Daniel and the four winds wrestling over the water, and how that there were the doctrinal powers of mankind that was going to come together in a great clash and cause all this great calamity that John spoke of, where the islands were moved out of the places. These great winds, it said one angel stood over here on this corner, one angel stood on this corner, and one angel stood on this corner, and one angel stood on this corner. And the Bible said there was fixing to come together to destroy the things on the earth. And a voice spoke out and said, see that you hurt not the earth, nor the trees, nor the water, nor anything that is in the earth, until God has sealed his servants in their forehead. According to what the scripture says, the Holy Ghost is the seal, and the seal of God comes in the forehead of the saints, just like the mark of the beast comes in as a seal to the evil ones, the image of the beast. And so then he said, hold these four winds back. And so the four angels stood here with these contrary doctrines and would not let them come together in a clash. Daniel brought it out a little more in his vision. When he saw the four winds, he said they come together and was wrestling over the waters. And waters means people trying to get dominion or trying to conquer. And we named those four powers here one night. We got it on tape. All right, now then, when they wrestle over the waters, Daniel gave us an understanding of that, and then John said that the angels was holding them back. Now, according to what I understand, when the seal came in the forehead, that meant the double potion. That was the other potion, which is the Spirit, to the Jews. They received the Spirit. All right, now then, they stayed, and the Bible said that Elisha took sick and died. Is that right? Now, the Jews will have to go through the persecution wherein they'll just diminish away, so to speak, in the sense of their suffering. They go through this, whereas Elijah, the Gentile church, was raptured out. So then, according to what I understand, this Elisha that we're speaking of, will come in at a certain time, and the double potion will come in. Now, I know that there's a lot of teachings this way and that way about the two prophets and about Elijah and Elisha and Moses and Joshua and all these things, but this is what we understand about it. I'm just telling you what we understand about it. So then, John said the islands were moved out of their place in this great hour and in this great time. The islands were moved out of their place. Now, we could go into some things here and bring out some spiritual revelation if we just had time, which we'd all try to do tonight, on islands and mountains and what they mean, and you get some spiritual significance out of it. But let's stay with the natural trend of it now to see what John was saying. All right, he said in this great age, when Antichrist come during the 6 months of the wrath of God, the islands were moved out of place. Now, I believe that these four winds is wrestling over the waters, when they're finally released, that the bombs and the catastrophe that will take place will come down upon the earth, and with this great blast over on the western part of the world, that the world will swing back up in its original position, man being upright, and the heavens will again swing back up in their original position. But the Bible teaches the accuser of the brethren, accuse them day and night, will be cast out, and this thing will come back up in its original position, and this, with it coming back up, will no longer be this second age here, but this third age, which is the 1,000 years millennium, which will be the upright earth and the upright man and the upright heaven right here, as it was in the beginning. This is what I believe. All right, now then, if this be so, if this really will happen, and the earth and all of this will swing back up, then the millennium will be the garden, will be the great restoration age, wherein the Bible said men will build houses and others will not inhabit. Now, don't forget that. In the millennium, they will build houses. A lot of folks think they're not going to do anything in the millennium. But, my friend, there's no place for laziness in God's work. No place. So that in the millennium, the Bible said they will build houses, they will plant vineyards, and in the millennium they will set under their own vine, they'll have their own milk cows, and all these things, and there won't be any diseases, won't be any heartaches. It'll be the perfect age for 1,000 years, which is about 10 times your lifetime. Now, and then after this 1,000 years, the Bible said Satan will be loose for a little season, and he'll go about the earth to deceive the nations, Gog and Magog, and we brought out the other night who these are, and bring them up upon the face of the earth, and then they'll go over against the great city Jerusalem, which is over yonder right now. Antichrist will rule from over here in the Western world, the woman side of it, which is a symbol of Jerusalem, over in New York, through Washington, up here through the United Nations. We'll bring it out some night in the Confederation Nation in a revelation. And Jesus will rule from Jerusalem, going through the eastern gate over there, going to the Jews in that hour, and he will rise up and they'll conquer the world. And whereas America's the head of the world as a woman nation now, that'll be the male, the head of the world over there as a male nation. And it will come up. God chose the Western world over here because it's a symbol of the bride, the church, to give her a ruling age and let the woman rule. And then it'll go back to the male, which is the male age, the Jew, which is the man age, which is the wonderful age of blessing. Because in the woman age, it's always an age of travail and suffering and sorrow. So then we go back to the male age. It's an age of labor but peace. And so then in that age, the lion will lay down with the bear. In that age, there will be lions and there will be bears. And everything that's extinct, every wonderful, beautiful animal and every bird that's extinct will be put back into the earth. God has preserved one somewhere. It's a symbol of Noah coming over from this age over to that age, is a symbol of Noah going over from the water age to the new age, wherein he preserved one of every species or two to multiply and replenish the earth. So God is preserving spiritually out of all the earth one of every kind, two of every kind, that is. Spiritually speaking, he's preserving two of every kind, and also the natural, but two of every kind for the multiplying of the new earth, that it might come to the perfect age out in the new earth. Out there, every species will be preserved, not one will be lost. Every good person in the earth, there will be one helped over to go into the millennium. All right, now, there won't be nothing lost. And according to what I understand, the lion and the bear will eat straw together, and the little children can play on the hole of the cockatrice and so forth, and the snakes, whatever they have, it won't bite out there. Everything will just be beautiful, and everything will just be perfect out there in that age. Now, I believe that that's the last age of the world. After that age, there'll never be another age of the world. But John said, after the 1,000 years millennium, then when they went up around Jerusalem and passed the city, then fire came out of heaven and devoured the adversaries that went around Jerusalem. Now give me just a few more minutes here and bring another swallow of water. I'd love to bring out just a thought or two for a confirmation, and then we try to close. Now then, in the millennium, I said that they would build. The Bible said that other men won't take their homes away from them like they do here. They'll inhabit their own homes. They'll build whatever they want to, and they'll live, and they'll have a good time out there. They'll dwell together, and it'll just be a wonderful age out there where they'll have their own homes and their own gardens and everything, and the animals will just be roaming around like a beautiful, beautiful garden, and it'll just be a wonderful time. Like you see in the movies, Samson, or this Tarzan. You used to see pictures about Tarzan and Jake. That's a symbol of Adam and Eve. And God always preserves everything in Hollywood because that's stardom over there. And stars is a type of people. So he preserves it as Adam and Eve to give us a symbol of what it's like in the jungle over there, the beautiful jungle where they go swimming and all those things. You see it in the movies. All right, but anyway, here, this will be another Eve age, so to speak, and an Adam age out here. But it'll be the perfect man, the perfect woman. And in this age right here, they will have their own land. They'll have their own houses, and they'll have the animals roaming the earth. And here in this age, this will go on for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, this will continue on. Now, during this time, there will be a government, and according to what I understand, the government will be, in this age, during this time, the government will be a righteous government of the church. And I see some of our young folks is disgusted with what I'm saying. You can go out if you don't like it. It's gone out because you'll never amount to anything anyway. You got your mind on sex and love, and that's all you're going to be fit for until you get over it. You need to get married. All right, now then, you see this thing right here? All right, now, during this age, you that are interested, I want you to listen now. During this age, in the great millennium age, I hear, during this age, there will be a government. And this government is the people who are training right now in this worldly college out here, so to speak, the spiritual aspect of it in this world. They're training just like people that go to college are training to take over the government. These people are training for the government of the millennium. These people in this world are going to college as the type of all of this, and they are coming out as rich men, a type of the sons of God, and the knowledge out of college, which is the knowledge of God in a symbol, and they are ruling for about 70, 80 years, and then they take cancer and they die. That's about a lifetime, about 70 years. But anyway, these people will rule for 1,000 years, 10 or 12, 15 lifetimes. Here, a government which is the spiritual, and that government will rule with a rod of iron. It will be a constraint. It will not be a liberty like this one we live in. Now, in the millennium, it will not be, let whosoever will. It will not. This is in this age. But in the millennium, the Bible said that everybody will be forced to come up to Jerusalem to pay tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ and to bow before Him and to worship Him and to worship before the saints of God who will be the government of the earth. And if they don't do it, the Bible said that God will not let any rain come on their land. They won't have anything to eat. They'll be forced to come up there. It won't be a matter of will you or won't you. They will have to come up to Jerusalem to pay tribute during the 1,000 years millennium reign. And the Jew will be the nation, the heaven nation. I believe that we'll be glorified because the reason I believe this is because we're raptured up before the tribulation. We go up to heaven, and I believe He's going to let us see New Jerusalem, whereas the others won't get to see it for 1,000 years more. But I believe we'll go up there, we'll see New Jerusalem, and we'll stay there with the Lord Jesus Christ 3 years, and after Antichrist reign, we'll come back down here on white horses. With the power of God, we'll slay the evil ones. I spoke of the other night, we'll bind Antichrist and the false prophet, throw him into the lake of fire, and then we'll bind Satan for 1,000 years and put him into the bottomless pit until after the 1,000 years is finished. He won't see the nations until after that, and then he'll go get Gog and Magog to go up against Jerusalem. But we'll bind the others, and everyone that's got the mark of the beast, we'll slay them, and those that do not have the mark of the beast will go into the millennium, and they will live right on through the millennium. Those that don't have the mark of the beast will not be slain. The nations will continue on for another 1,000 years. That's why I say this world isn't through until then. They'll go right on into the 1,000 years millennium, and then after that, Satan will go about to deceive them one more time. That's why the Bible said that he that blasphemeth the Holy Ghost shall not receive forgiveness in this world, nor the world to come. There was a world before the flood, and then after that, this is called the new world. And then after this, we'll go into another new world here. So this is the world to come here. There is no forgiveness for that sin. All right, now then, you see what I'm trying to say here? That this great millennium age, according to what I understand, we'll be celestial because we'll be caught up, we'll be changed, and then we'll come back down and rule as a celestial government that will be like the angels to the Jews, the same way as the angels are to us now. We can go and come like we want to, access to heaven and earth, rule over the nations, and the Jews will be the head of the nation, which will be the earthly government as far as controlling the nations, whereas we'll be the heavenly government, for we'll be as the angels that account for the resurrection. The evil angels cannot die. And so then we will be angels to them, just as the angels are to us, and they will be the head of the nation, just like America, or we are the head of the nations right now. So then this will come to pass according to what I understand in the millennium reign. And then at the end of this great millennium reign, and according to what I understand, the Jews will not be celestial in that time. They'll just labor just like now, and they'll have a good time and enjoy the restoration of God just like Adam and Eve, the perfect man and woman. They will be there. And after this, then John said, I saw a new earth and a new heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness. And just before we say that and finishing up there, I want to say this. Now, to prove that this is the same earth. The Bible said at the end of this 1,000 years, millennium, that the graves will give up their dead. Is that right? Is that Bible now? All right, then, if there is still graves, then that means there's still an earth somewhere. See, if there's still graves, graves are in the earth. That means it's got to be earth somewhere for the graves to still remain. So then before the 1,000 years millennium, and before the reign of Antichrist, there'll be a rapture, but only the dead in Christ shall rise. And the Bible said the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years was finished. That means they're still in the grave, and the graves are still here during the millennium. Is that right? All right, then at the end of this, the Bible said the sea gave up its dead. That means there's still an ocean somewhere. There's still, so we call it ocean, but Genesis, they all call seas. And so then there's still seas or oceans somewhere, because the dead sailors and all that's buried out there that wasn't righteous has not come out of it yet. You understand what I'm saying? So then you see, this is not, according to what we've been taught and believe, it is absolutely not the new earth. It is a new world, but it is not what the Bible refers to as a new earth. But John said, after the 1,000 years millennium, I saw heaven and earth pass away. I saw it just pass away, flee away from the great white throne of judgment, which comes after the millennium, when the dead in Christ stand there, and when also the wicked dead come forth. And he said, I saw the great white throne of judgment, from whose face, he said, the earth just run away from it, just like that. When God, the great creator of the earth, comes, said, the whole earth just fled away, and there wasn't any place found for the mountains and the islands and nothing. At the coming of the great white light, it just caused everything to dissolve and vanish into nothing. And so he said, then I saw a new earth and a new heaven wherein dwelleth righteousness. And John spoke of this. He said, and then I saw new Jerusalem coming down from out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband, the great city with the celestial streets and so on, setting down upon the new earth. So the new Jerusalem does not set down upon the earth out here in the 1,000 years millennium. It does not. It comes down upon the new earth that is called the city of God after the millennium. And this we'll stop right here, because I know that you're weary, and I know that you're tired, and I'm weary, and I'm tired too. But I want to stop right here. But I just wanted to try to clarify this tonight, because I have a lot of people that ask me questions about this, and they wonder about it, and I know that you wonder about it. And a lot of times I'm hesitant to answer you because I don't have time to explain what I say, and it just causes you to say, well, brother so-and-so don't teach that, or sister so-and-so says she didn't believe that, and then I get you all out here, and then you go off from church thinking that I'm all mixed up. Now then, if you think I'm mixed up after I've had time to explain it all, well, you're going to leave. That's all right, and then I'll understand. Because that's all I know. I'm just telling you what I know. But now if you consider the things I said in the light of the scriptures, you'll find it to be a thus saith the Lord. Now you do whatever you want to do about it, but this is what I understand. All right, let's stand together. I believe that we're at the end of the way. I believe that with all my heart. Praise the Lord.